My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Grant and Danny live on the Fan all over D.C. on 106.7 and Richmond AM 910 FM 105.1. We are streaming on video in crystal clear high definition on YouTube on 106.7 The Fan D.C.'s page. The exclusive sponsor of this show is the law firm Condori and Murad. They'll guide you and your family in the right direction by helping you to draft a will, set up a trust, or create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com, and be sure to tell them that GND sent you so that you can get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Danny, the Commanders lose 37-20. They end up throwing for 184 yards as a club, 55 of those on five completions on the final drive in garbage time. So really, it was more like a 130-yard or so performance through the air, which we've talked a lot about. One of a bunch of issues. The easiest to fix, or at least the one you can most quickly act on, was kicker, and they did today.
They did that.
Cade York has been released. They have decided to sign, according to various reports, Austin Seibert, who kicked in just one game and had two field goal attempts and three extra points last NFL season. He was a member of the Detroit Lions when Lance Newmark was there, so there's some familiarity with him within this front office. But the reason for cutting Cade York was not just that he struggled in week one. They would have had to send their seventh-round pick that they traded for York to the Browns as of this coming week if he kicked in a second game. It was conditional on the condition that York kicked in two football games. So by cutting him today, they actually don't lose a pick in that trade.
So if he was the dude, they would have just kept him. But it was pretty clear he wasn't the dude, and they replaced him with Cade York just via a different name in their minds, I think, probably, right? Like, if York had been outstanding, made both his field goals and not kicked the ball out of bounds and did exactly what they wanted on kickoffs and, you know, whatever else or however else they grade, had he been excellent and been dominant in practice as well, they probably would have kept him and gone through this. That said, he was shaky enough that they said, you know what, we could fill this void in a slightly different way and maybe not lose that much and try to, you know, we'll keep riding this carousel.
You gave a game ball way, way earlier today to Jamin Davis.
Mm-hmm.
We have not talked about him really at all, but even though he didn't play a lot, Jamin Davis had a TFL in the backfield that he blew up for a run stuff for -4, I think it was. And he made two very noticeable plays in short order early in the ball game. His transition to defensive end is going pretty well, I would say. Now, whether or not he can consistently rush the quarterback and get home and actually generate some pressures and some sacks is how we're going to determine eventually whether or not it's a sustainable thing, and him staying there and staying in this organization at that position is a worthwhile endeavor. But for a guy that was on the bubble at the start of camp that people were saying may not make the team. I still like what I see pretty consistently now between the preseason and the very small sample early in week one from Jamin Davis learning a new position.
So I will give this staff credit in this regard. One of the things that's always frustrated me about bad organizations versus good ones, and this has certainly been a bad one for a long time, is it's always, you know, this guy, somebody has to fit into what we do, or let's focus on what they can't do, instead of finding what they can do. I mean, my example is always the Ravens. They always find somebody where, like Terrell Suggs, for example, slipped in the first round. Well, his 40 time was bad. They said, we don't care. We'll find something that he can do. And he's one of the best pass rushers ever. For Davis, there was a lot of struggle trying to get him to do certain things at certain times in certain places. It's not an insult. It's hard to do some of those things if it's not what your natural skill set is, trying to overcome certain stuff. He's good at not having to think too much and reacting quickly and using his quicks and speed. He's good at that. So put him at defensive end. Now, you know, you play the Tennessee Titans of a couple years ago with Derrick Henry, you know, running off tackle that way. You probably don't want to put him out there for 50, 60 snaps trying to hold the edge. But if the game is get upfield, young man, he can do that.
Atiz talking about the rookie class. Jaden Daniels is obviously the headliner. We've talked quite a bit about him, and we're going to grade his performance and really dive elbow deep into Daniels coming up at 5:25, about 15 minutes from right now. We'll both assign the first grade of his season after game one. But otherwise, Johnny Newton did not play, still unavailable, the defensive tackle. Mikey Sanristil had a very rough first game. Sanristil, the nickel cornerback, who we were told had a great camp, struggled with Chris Godwin, obviously, inside at corner. But a couple of things that stood out. One, Brandon Coleman played 14 of 59 snaps. So Cornelius Lucas at left tackle played 45 snaps. Mm-hmm. But I actually thought Coleman looked athletic and pretty big, and there was nothing noticeably bad there. That's encouraging. Also, Luke McCaffrey played a lot more than I thought he was going to and actually got targeted on and caught three balls for 18 yards. Nothing sexy from him, but he was pretty sure-handed, looked fairly physical after the catch as well. Did you think Luke McCaffrey would play this much?
I wasn't sure how they would handle it, honestly, but second most snaps, I believe, among receivers behind Terry McLaurin. So I think maybe they value him as a blocker a little bit, right? Just a little bit more physical on the outside than some of their smaller guys.
We know they love blocking at wide receiver.
And that was kind of my thought there. I thought you'd see maybe more Dyami Brown than McCaffrey. But, yeah, I mean, I think McCaffrey's versatility helped him stay on the field in a few more packages as well.
He's not a rookie, but that was the next guy that's worth bringing up at receiver. So much talk about Dyami Brown in camp and in the preseason to the point where the hype was, is he going to be number two on this team in receptions? In fact, I had to fill out this little survey someone gave me about the 2024 Commanders, and the question that I had the hardest time with, who's going to be the second most targeted wide receiver other than Terry McLaurin? And I wrote Alamide Zaccheaus' name, and I crossed it out, and I wrote Dyami Brown, I crossed it out, I'm thinking Noah Brown, and I went back to and kind of settled on Dyami, who ended up being targeted once and not catching a pass in the game. He was just completely unheard of. But he ran around a lot. I mean, you go back, as I said, I watched the All-22 today. He's out there for a lot of routes. And Terry McLaurin, actually, partially because of the go balls, mm-hmm. where he ran, you know, the sprint 50 yards downfield, he missed a handful of snaps, which isn't always the case. A lot of the time, you know, he's on the field for almost
every
snap.
He was just over 80%, to your point.
But when you're getting the cardio that he normally does, you know, he missed, I would say, somewhere around like 8 to 10 snaps or something.
Yeah.
Which was a lot of two receiver sets where they used Zaccheaus and Brown. Sometimes it was Crowder that was out there. But no one really stood out, but particularly Dyami Brown. I thought he was whisper quiet.
Absolutely. Again, I think the physicality to be a blocker on the outside is something that they're looking for and valuing, but I don't know how open he's going to be.
Grant and Danny with you on The Fan, pleased right now to get to talk to a Hall of Famer, a 14-time Pro Bowler and a 6-time All-Pro, one of the greats in the history of the league with 1,325 catches, one of the best tight ends to ever play. Tony Gonzalez joins us now right here on The Fan to make some sense of what we saw this weekend and to get ready for the kickoff of the third season of Thursday Night Football on Prime Video. Tony's a big part of their crew at the desk pre and post. Tony, you're on in D.C. Thanks for the time. How are you?
I'm doing well. What's going on?
We're a little bit bummed from a week one result here in Washington, but, you know, onward and upward, I suppose. Just big picture on the league, Tony. It seems like week one of the last couple of seasons has been really topsy-turvy, a lot of unexpected things. I know it's a league that thrives on that, but have you felt that? What's your explanation if you buy it?
Well, you know, definitely, I mean, the stats are the proof that you need. I mean, yesterday was what is it, the worst, one of the worst offensive outputs in the last 10, 20, whatever years, what I was reading. And I think a lot of it comes down to these guys. Nobody plays in the preseason anymore. Back from when I was back in my day, that's what you did. I mean, you played in every single preseason game, except I'm really sometimes rather the last one, especially if you're an older guy. But the third preseason game, which would be the second preseason game now since they only have three, you play into the third quarter. I mean, you're getting your timing down. You're getting that rhythm down. And everybody needs it, no more so than the offensive line. I think that has a lot to do with it. You saw a lot of holes, a lot of defenders getting after the quarterback because you don't have that continuity. And then guys out there in the receiving, the timing, the game speed, you can't duplicate it. I don't care anybody, joint practices and all that stuff. You know nobody's going to hit you in those situations. It's good, but it's not great work, and I think you're seeing that. But they'll get it right. That's the thing about it. The NFL, give them 2 or 3 weeks, and then they'll start to hit that form and start to get that rhythm, and that timing will come, and you'll start seeing the points go up. You'll see big games out of these receivers.
Tony Gonzalez on G&D. Yeah, just to back his point up there with some numbers, unless the Jets and Niners combine for 672 yards in this game, it's going to be the lowest passing yardage output week one since 2010, which is going to break last year's output as the lowest in that stretch. And in fact, passing touchdowns in week one from 2019 through 2022, we saw 61, 52, 61, and 51 passing touchdowns in week one. There were 33 so far in week one with one game to play. So just a massive fall off in production to accentuate Tony's point. Here in Washington, we saw, speaking of changes in the league, the starting quarterback scramble 11 times and run 16 times. He and Lamar Jackson both did that in week one. Over 17 games, that would get you over 270 attempts. That would make you number two in the NFL behind Derrick Henry in rushing attempts last year, which obviously isn't the plan with the 210-pound quarterback. But what do you make of Jaden Daniels running that much in his pro debut yesterday?
Well, you know, you look at all these quote-unquote running quarterbacks, when anything gets unsure, when anything is in doubt, they use their legs. It's been something they've done since they played Pop Warner football. First time they ever put some cleats on and some shoulder pads and played the quarterback position, they're thinking, okay, I can always rely on my legs. It's easy. And so you put a young guy out there, pocket breaks down, not sure about a read, take off. And you have the ability to do it. And he does. He has the ability to do it. Now, you know, the flip side of that is now you might get hurt. You look back at the film, you're like, man, I actually have guys open. If I could just wait a little bit more, I think you become a victim to your athleticism. And that's why it's tough for these running quarterbacks to be a really, really good dual threat guy. It is extremely, extremely tough. And I know if I'm playing with a guy who's a quote-unquote running quarterback, I'm going to tell him, hey, man, give me some time. Let me get open. I can work for you and make it easier on you. But I'm not surprised by that, a young quarterback like Jaden. He's doing what he does. That's what he does. But he's got to get better. You got to take that off the table for a lot of different reasons. It shows, does it win Super Bowls? It hasn't over the last, whatever, five, a long time. When is the last time a pure, like a running quarterback won the Super Bowl? It doesn't work in the long term. And just look at Lamar Jackson. You can be great all season, get MVP, but you got to be able to swing that rock from the pocket. And I'm sure he'll evolve and keep figuring that out.
Great. Tony Gonzalez with us here on Grant and Danny. Tony, take it wherever you want, team, player, anything in between. Who impressed you most here in week number one?
Who impressed me most? You know, I'm not going to be a homer here. Probably people are going to say I am, but I really like what the Chiefs did. I thought them going out after last year, obviously winning the Super Bowl, and the weakness is your offense. And they went out there and got Isaiah Worthy, two touchdowns. Rashee Rice looks better than ever. He's going to be one of the best receivers in the league. Malcolm Brown wasn't even there. I just think offensively, and what they can do defensively with Chris Jones and McDuffie, Trent McDuffie, Nick Bolton, like they have that same, pretty much that same defense pack. I know Sneed is gone, but why would you pick against them? Why? There's no reason, if they stay healthy, that they're going to be even better than they were last year. The NFL, they're like, they're going to be talking about the three-peat all season long, right? It's already been talked about a bunch, and it's just going to keep getting more and more. But they deserve it, man. That team, they look really, really good to me opening weekend.
Thursday night coming up in 3 days. Prime Video begins its third season. Exclusive Thursday night football coverage. They got a great matchup, too. The Bills and the Dolphins in Miami. Pregame coverage begins each Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern with TNF tonight. Tony Gonzalez is with us on Grant and Danny. How about that game you're going to be at for the Bills and the Dolphins? Buffalo survived a big-time scare. They needed every productive yard and moment they could muster in the second half against the Cardinals to get a week one win. And same with the Dolphins. They laid an egg for about three quarters, and because of their explosiveness on offense, they were able to survive in advance and steal one from Jacksonville. Both those teams, despite being 1-0, probably going to go into week two feeling like they didn't play their best football.
Yeah, then they didn't. They did not. I watched both those games. They did not look like what you thought they were going to look like. In fact, Miami, I'm convinced if Javon Holland doesn't punch that ball out, they're going up. They're going to go up what, by 17 at that point. They're going to 24-7 at that, or whatever it was, 24-3, I think. It would have been a almost insurmountable deficit for them to come back. Not that they can. Obviously, they got Tyreek and Jalen Waddle. But that just changed the momentum of that game, and that's what they needed. It kind of sparked them, and they finally came to life. And I think with Buffalo, the biggest thing is, my biggest takeaway from that game is they're a good football team. There's no doubt. I think they're going to be a playoff team again. Everybody talks about their window closing. I'm not convinced it's closed. I think I see it maybe starting to shut, but I still think they can go out there and make a good playoff run. Especially because they got a quarterback like they do. My thing is, can they keep him healthy? That's my takeaway. Let's make sure that he doesn't feel like he needs to put the team on his shoulders. And he's got to lean on some of these other guys, especially his tight end. He's got a big-time tight end in Dalton Kincaid who can run great routes. He reminds me of Travis Kelce as far as the route running and the smoothness and the getting out of the routes. They got to find ways to get him the ball to alleviate some of that pressure off of Josh, because Josh, I can't see him doing what he did last week all season long. It's just a matter of time before a guy like him gets hurt, which would be the worst thing to happen for that team.
Turn to the other AFC's team, the Jets, in action tonight against San Francisco. How do you see that one going? And then how do you see that AFC East going?
You know, the Jets, I think that's probably the biggest anticipation out of anybody, at least for me. I know it is for me. Because of what we saw last year, all that hype going into the season last year, and then Aaron goes out there and gets hurt, whatever, fourth play of the game. And so we've been chomping at the bit to see what this team can actually look like. Is Robert Saleh, is he a good coach or is he a bad coach right now? I mean, people are calling him a bad coach. Maybe he should be fired. And you're like, man, you know, let's see how you do when you lose your Hall of Fame quarterback. So really looking forward to seeing what Aaron can do with that offense and that really good defense that they have there. The 49ers, best team, top team, 1-2 to me in the NFC. My favorite to go back to the Super Bowl, them or Philly. I like Philly a lot too as well. But the 49ers, John Lynch and Coach Shanahan, what they've done over the last couple years, they continue to keep retooling. They keep signing back their key players. That team is ready. They're going to go out there. In fact, I think the 49ers are going to win this game. But I'd like to see Aaron go out there and play well against a really, really good defense. But I think just a storyline, period. Forget about who you're rooting for or not, but I would love to see the old man go out there and play well against that 49er defense and put the Jets in a position to win, although I think the 49ers are going to take this one.
Jets-Niners kicks off in 3 hours tonight on Monday Night Football. Tony, before we let you go, last one. I mentioned, you know, I think for a lot of us, when we think about the tight end position, you're the first person that comes to mind, being third all-time in catches and number one at the position. Seems to me like, and you can correct me or tell me I'm wrong if you disagree, but Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, you know, some of the greats who have done it in this era are starting to wind it down a little bit. Maybe George Kittle's the transition guy between the two groups, but there's another wave coming now. Sam LaPorta in Detroit might be the leader of the pack. How do you view kind of the state of the union at tight end at that position, and who are some guys maybe we should keep an eye on that you enjoy watching that could be next?
Well, you said so those two guys, I think, are the lead guys, LaPorta, Dalton Kincaid, talked about him. These guys run great routes. It's kind of the position has really evolved. It's not like when I was playing where you got to put your hand in the dirt and 3 yards in a cloud of dust, that old school smash mouth football power running, triple team to the linebacker. I hated doing it, but you had to do it. That was part of the position. So these guys are more of these flex guys, and they come in just ready, catching balls. Last year what Sam Laporta did was incredible to do as a rookie. I like those two guys. I like Brock Bowers. I watched him yesterday for the Raiders. He's going to be special. I think he's going to be a really, really good tight end receiving. He can block through as well. Somebody that I've been waiting on, and I think with Kirk Cousins coming to the Falcons, Kyle Pitts, who had 1,000 yards as a rookie, which is I think he's the only one to ever do it, or since Mike Ditka, he was the first one to do that. No, I didn't do that. Kelsey didn't do that. Gronk didn't do that. He did it as a rookie. And then since then, he just has almost fallen off. It seems like a completely different player. But he had a guy that I know very well then. He had Matt Ryan throwing him the football. And I think Kirk Cousins could resurrect this guy's career, get him going, because he's a unicorn. Athletically, 6'6", 265 pounds, runs a 4.4, can catch the ball outside of the framework of his body, does all the little things that you want done out of a tight end. I think he's poised for a big year. In fact, I want to see it. It's kind of a make or break year as far as I'm concerned for him, because that 1,000 yards, I was back then, I was like, man, this guy, this guy might be on his way to being better than all of us. But I'd like to see him get back on track.
Tony, this is great, man. Really appreciate the time.
All right, thank you for having me, guys.
It'd be good. We'll be watching you on Thursday night. There's Tony Gonzalez, Prime Video, exclusive Thursday night home for football. Again, all season for their third year now. With the pre and post, Tony will be on the set. Good conversation with him. Next, how did we feel about Jaden Daniels' first game? Let's get into the good, the bad from Daniels in his debut on G&D.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom? I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I mean, I grade myself hard. We ain't win, so, you know, I'm a competitor. I like to win. But overall, it went well, pretty well. There's some stuff that, as an offense, that we left on the field. We got to execute better, but, you know, that's what it's a long season. We're going to move on from this.
That's Jaden Daniels post-game yesterday. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, on the Fan. How would you grade Jaden Daniels in his pro debut? You can call us now. We'll open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines at 800-636-1067. I think I have to give two grades. One for him as a football player. The other for him as a quarterback, or passer, I guess, is more like it. So as a football player, when I'm taking into account 16 attempts, 88 yards, 2 touchdowns, 11 scrambles, getting out of some pressure, picking up first downs, the 4th-and-1 naked where he got to the sideline, like some of those things, that's an A. I mean, as a playmaker, as a football player, as a rusher, 2 touchdowns in his debut, he's the second quarterback to ever do that. There's a lot I like about that. As a passer, I think it was like a D performance. You don't involve wide receivers. You can't really get anything going. Mostly everything they completed was around the line of scrimmage. And I'm not blaming him solely. I'm not sitting here pretending like it was all his fault. It's an operational issue, but the operation wasn't good enough. And so as the QB, unfortunately, even in your debut, you wear some of that. But then if you combine everything, you know, the A and the D, you probably get like a C or a C plus or B minus or somewhere in that range, the borderline between the two. And that's probably where I am. I guess I will give him a C for his first ever game because he did some things that I really liked when it comes to making plays, showing his athleticism, being a football player, being a natural, you know, getting out of the pocket and running. But I'll just be honest, for me, from a passing standpoint, I didn't think there was a lot to like.
So C minus for me, echo everything that you said. The reason I knock it down even more is these non-slide, head barreling rolls, helmet comes off. We're joking about that now too. Stuff. Enough of that. Whatever that is. Enough of that. So the explosive plays through pressure not getting home is great. That should terrify defenses. I want that. What I want is an offense. This is the thing I dream of, where no matter what you do, you should be afraid of something. You should know that you're going to get beat somehow. It's just a matter of me picking which place I want to beat your ass. That's not the case right now. They don't have that. But that's a long story. To me, some of those... there's nothing there. Defenders are heads are turned. Boom, I can get into the secondary, start making some moves. Chunk yardage plays are happening this way. 15 yards, 17 yards. That one he tiptoed down the sideline was brilliant. I'm all in favor of those things. Yes, please and thank you. Probably too many of those, though, over the course of a game. Some of those need to be turned into big plays through the air as well, which Dan Quinn addressed. I think he will.
I think
as
the
time
problem
goes.
Sometimes with those is it's hard to see it when you're watching in real time and you see him get out of the pocket and pick up 6. What you don't see until you go back and you watch is that potentially there was 18 on a throw.
Yeah, or there was 46 over the top somewhere,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Or even if there wasn't anything before he left the pocket, if you are of the mindset, which if I could put a chip in a quarterback and I'd make a champion this way, I promise you I would, it would be the chip to, if you're Jaden Daniels, the ability to do what he does to get away from the pressure with the speed and that athletic trait, and now you just run into space and reset. That's what I'm. That's the coaching point for me. Don't put your head down and run for 5 or 8 or 11. Run into wide open space, and now everybody is plastering and just spraying all over the formation to find anywhere that they can go, and you're resetting and throwing. And there were, going back and watching the All-22 of his 16 runs, I would say at least 5, probably as many as 7 times, where if you're resetting, there's something. Or before he decided to run, there was one play particularly, where Terry McLaurin, very rare, 6 times he was in the slot, on the left, he was motioned. The only time I saw him motion the entire game, by the way, which is another gripe I have with Kingsbury. Just always know where Terry's going to be lined up. But he was slot left, and Terry McLaurin ran what was kind of like a deep post, and he had his guy by a couple of steps. And it's not wide open necessarily, but it's NFL open.
It's throwable, yeah.
It is NFL open. If you're waiting for Malik Nabers to be streaking behind everybody by 5 yards, it ain't happening up here very often, buddy. I mean, if Tyreek Hill's your guy and you're Tua, you'll get that all the time. Mm-hmm. But here, in these parts around this, Byron Pringle, I guess he got cut already. But everyone else,
that's the tier.
Everyone else is Byron Pringle. So
seriously.
Jamison Crowder, like these guys aren't doing that. Luke McCaffrey ain't leaving dudes in their dust early this season. So that's open. And he turned some of those things down. And that's kind of my thought is the running stuff was great, but I don't want ever to see what I saw this weekend where it's all you've got, where the whole offense is the scramble.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
And so, and we're grading on what we saw, and I don't know whose fault everything is, and I don't know that you will ever truly know, but when I could see, and everybody misses throws every week, but that miss started the second half to McLaurin. The first play to Brian Robinson. I mean, these are now 10% of the throws that he made over the course of the game that were either minus 15-yard glaring misses or, you know, something else that wasn't there. So, you know, overall as a thrower, not particularly impressive. I think better days are ahead in that regard.
Totally.
I'm still such a believer in the player. But the scrambling stuff and the playmaking when there's not much there, I like that a lot. I like the threat. So overall, C- for me.
Yeah, we're analyzing a game, not his career, right? This doesn't mean this is what he's always going to be. We're talking about four quarters of football in a small sample. But 12 of 19 for 134 with, you know, 3 minutes to go before they go out there and they go down the field against the Bucs playing soft defense. And he goes 5 of 5 for 55. And at that point, 19 yards to receivers. It ended up being 55 total of 184. 12 pressures, he threw 4 times and ran 8 times when facing pressure. 2-to-1 ratio of just tucking the football and running. But the beautiful thing about it was the lack of sacks. I did really, really like that. The pressures weren't often turned into sacks, which is one of the concerns I had coming out of school. So he's 1 for 1 there. In terms of, you know, other passing numbers, if you want to look at numbers, and again, these aren't just indictments on Jaden Daniels. These are indictments on Kingsbury and the whole group. It's a team effort here. Average depth of target of 1.5 on completions, lowest in the league this weekend. 86% of passing yards came from yards after contact, highest in the NFL. So you're talking about like the vast, vast, vast majority of whatever they got was after the catch because it was such a short throw, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it is a data point. 25% on an adjusted completion of 10-plus air yards. He was 1 of 4 on those throws. That was dead last among 30 quarterbacks. 0 middle-of-the-field throws beyond 10 yards. 0. There were 30 quarterbacks who have played so far. 27 of them threw balls in that area. 3 didn't. He was 1 of them. And like I said, 1 or 2 throws go differently. We probably have a whole different conversation. He hits that one pass to Terry McLaurin out of the halftime on a 70-yard touchdown. Maybe it's different. But you know, when your completed air yards is 30th out of 30, intended air yards is 25 out of 30, air yards to sticks is 29 out of 30, expected completions 29 out of 30, it's hard for me to say it was a great passing day. It just wasn't. And there's probably a lot of things that played into that. But we want to hear from you guys. It was definitely fun to see him make the Bucs miserable running the football and to see that he's got that club in the bag. And there's going to be days ahead where he's going to be doing that while hitting some big-time throws. And that is the dream, I would say. 800-636-1067. You want to grade Jaden Daniels for his debut on G&D.
Back at it, Daniels with the keep and his first touchdown in the National Football League. Jaden Daniels runs it in from 2 yards out for the touchdown.
The first of 2 rushing touchdowns for Jaden Daniels. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Here is an incredible stat. If you're getting together with buddies to watch Monday Night Football tonight, or you're going out to the bar at some point this week, you're meeting up with somebody, drop this little trivia. This is great. Jaden Daniels became the second ever quarterback to rush for two touchdowns in his debut. Who was the other? And the answer is an all-time stunner.
So it's not Cam Newton or, you know, Robert Griffin or somebody who was a great running quarterback.
Let's go around the room. So you got Cam Newton.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's wrong because that doesn't sound like a stunner to me.
All right. Who do you got? Only other rookie quarterback ever to rush for two touchdowns in his first start.
Oh, man. You said all-time stunner?
Well, you're not supposed to know that part, but yes.
It's going to be some number that ran two QB sneaks or something.
It's going to be... Oh, man.
Danny's on it, by the way.
Who'd Danny say?
He just said it's a donk.
Oh, it's a donk. I don't know. I have nothing. That's weird.
Kenny Pickett.
Of course.
There we go.
Of course.
Kenny Pickett.
I did say number.
But anyway, I just think that's a fun little bit of trivia. But the question is, what grade are you giving Daniels? I'm going to go with a C+.
C- for me.
Do you differentiate like I did, where I give him an A for making plays with his feet?
Yeah, I'm talking about the football player. I'm combining all the things, and my extra knocks below you are the head-first diving everywhere, helmet falling off, turf in my helmet, ear-holing craziness that I can't have.
Two shots to the head on runs. And moments after, it was a couple plays after the broadcast, Moose Johnston was like, maybe it was Kugler on the call. Who needs to slide when you can just fall forward? These idiots keep talking about him sliding all the time. Look at him. He's Lamar Jackson falling forward. He knows how to do it. Moments later, he falls forward. There's nowhere to go except for to get ear-holed helmet to helmet, almost like occasionally when defenders are oncoming. That's going to be a bad plan and a bad strategy. But this was Jaden Daniels talking about his helmet falling off two times. He seems to be okay with it.
Jaden, your helmet popped off. Did that ever happen to you?
For sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, probably. I mean, I don't know. Probably, though.
Do you like to wear your helmet a little bit looser?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people probably, they try to say there's something about that, but, you know, honestly, I'm just playing football back there. You know, your helmet's going to pop off no matter what. If you got it buckled up tight or loose at the end of the day.
Your helmet's going to pop off. No, it isn't. I mean, I'm just thinking, and everyone gets so mad with comparison, so forgive me, but the other guy that ran 16 times this week is Lamar Jackson. Do you remember his helmet coming off, like, much at all in his career? And I'm not saying I don't. I just, top of my head, that's not a thing. I know a lot of people whose helmets don't come off a lot.
Yeah. I mean, one of my best buddies played college football, and this drives him crazy, by the way. Like, his point is, his helmet was so tight, you had to, like, work it off.
He was the guy that had the big red.
Yeah, and he'd have red marks everywhere for, like, the next day and a half. And he's like, he cannot understand it, you know? But I don't know. I mean, I didn't wear any NFL helmets.
Let's go to Chudy in Gainesville on G&D. Chudy, what grade are you giving Jaden Daniels?
Hey, what's up? I give him a B-. You know, his elusiveness is great. You know, hopefully he'll be making the throws. But I agree, man. What irked me yesterday was that this guy was not sliding. And I don't care how he was coming down. That just, we all don't want him to be RG3, but... That was eerily like RG3, where he would run and open, and then he'd either fall forward or he'd get hit. Or now in this case, his helmet falls off twice. So he's got to start learning how to slide. You know, moving forward.
He has made it pretty clear, Chudy. He's not a slider. Like that's not. And I don't mean he's not an appetizer where you get three of them and they're little tiny.
And they're always really good.
But he does not plan on doing that. Like he has a way where he falls, and. Same with Lamar. He's not a slider. He falls and kind of contorts his body.
You give yourself up a different way.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the same thing, essentially. I give myself up to avoid the contact. Until it isn't. Until you get ear-holed. He's lucky, honestly, in that situation. He wasn't pulled by the, you know, the red hat or whoever the person is. Because he did take a helmet-to-helmet blow.
The guy got a penalty for a helmet-to-helmet hit.
Exactly. Now, he didn't show any signs of it. So because he wasn't woozy, I guess they didn't pull him off the field. But that's now out of your hands and out of the team's hands.
Yep.
When you start taking any kind of hits, they might just say, hey, man, we want to look at you. And now you're missing a series. And by the way, your backup quarterback's out for a month. Anybody notice that this weekend? Marcus Mariota's on IR.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're down to your third quarterback. But, you know, here everyone's like, oh, his helmet fell off. Don't be silly. It's everyone's helmet falls off. You goose. Don't you know that? No. Get a helmet that doesn't fall off. That's not a big ask.
Let's tighten the straps a little bit. Get the equipment guy just to pull a little tauter on the clips.
I feel like I'm talking to my kid or something. I'm just trying to help you. I'm trying to protect you. You know, you're going out on your bike. I'm just trying to make it so that you don't get hurt.
I don't want to wear my helmet. Put that helmet on, pal.
Derek's in Sterling on Grant and Danny. Hello, Derek.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Good.
So, I give Jaden Daniels a C. And, I mean, obviously he has good running ability and everything, but I think most of the blame has to go to the offensive coordinator because it looked like there was no game plan. It just looked like no one's open, just tuck it and run, and that's pretty much what it looked like. It looked like there was no actual plan of attack. There was no actual plays. It was just one guy is not open and just tuck it and run. So I just don't think that's a sustainable thing. And I mean, he's lucky that, I mean, nothing bad happened. But if this is going to be the whole season, then it's not really sustainable. And there's 100%. Actually like no actual game plan.
I refuse to believe there wasn't one. It looked like it, but my guess is they probably had a plan and there were routes being run. 11 scrambles on 42 dropbacks means 26% of the time.
Yeah.
When he dropped back, 26%, a quarter of the time, he decided to take off and run. Chuck in Centerville, you're on Grant and Danny. How are you?
Hello, how are you?
Good, buddy.
Good.
Long time listener, guys. I just want to say, I give him a D. And I'm going to tell you, those things that really bothered me was, you know, if your helmet doesn't fit right, get one that does. It's coming off, it's popping off, there's a problem. And, you know, if you're crossing the goal line, and it comes off before you get across, it's not a touchdown. Other thing is this that really bothered me. He's got a mouthpiece that's hanging out of his mouth. He doesn't wear it as a mouthpiece. It's hanging out of his mouth the whole time. That, to me, is ludicrous.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you, bud.
Grant and Danny talking now. Jaden Daniels' health on the fan. This is... I'm not joning on the caller. Me, you, and I are guilty of it, too.
Yeah.
It's now sounding like old guy radio.
I know.
Where we're like, can you wear your mouthpiece? Yeah. Can you wear your helmet?
You can't have hair coming out of a helmet. It's not American. No, but stick aside. Like, his helmet doesn't fit. It's flopping around everywhere. He's chewing on his mouthpiece. I mean, I'm in Funny Dandy, Grant Zay, Grant H. Paulson. Somebody just brought this up, and it's totally right. Like, a touchdown got taken off the board. I know it was a blowout loss, and we're not considering it or really caring about it, but... He ran for a touchdown, his helmet came off, and they have to blow the play dead.
Right.
Like, that's not enough for everybody?
I think my annoyance is too strong of a word, okay? But the thing that I don't love about it is just like the conversation on him sliding, falling, protect himself, whatever, there is a dismissiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just from him. In fact, I don't mind that his area of it, like he's ultra confident.
He needs to believe he's invincible.
He's the young guy that thinks he can fly too close to the sun, mm-hmm. right? But it's everyone else around him. It's like, Dan Quinn, I need to care a little more. Adam Peters, like the people responsible for protecting him and all, you know, the fans of his that are like, he doesn't need a helmet that fits. He can play without a helmet. He's tough. Go away with that nonsense to someone who wants to hear it. The he's tough thing, he's a dog, though. Cool, that and $5 will get you a box of donuts. I need a guy that can play 17 games and stay healthy. I don't need someone who's going to prove that he's a tough guy and take on the contact. That ain't my quarterback. There might be a guy on my roster who could do that, some fullback who's bleeding from his nose like John Ritchie every time he goes helmet to helmet with someone. My quarterback's not going to be the guy that's going to prove how tough he is going head-to-head with people. No, thank you. I'm good on that. Let's see what Jay Gruden thinks. He joins us next for his first of 17 appointments with us throughout the season on Mondays on G&D.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.